May the grace, mercy, and peace of God, our Heavenly Father, be with us this morning and forever. Amen. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the second book of Peter, and beginning with the 8th verse and reading down through the 14th verse. That's 2 Peter, chapter 3, and beginning with verse 8, and reading the words in Jesus' name. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, that the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning. We pray, O God, that you would speak to us through these words and that we would be encouraged and uplifted, and that we would leave from here worshiping your name and singing praises unto your name and to your greatness. For indeed, that gift that you have given us is beyond reproach, and it is beyond compare. So, Father, we thank you and ask you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Peter starts out in here that, and it's a conversation that has been had over time, many times, and there are some that are confused with it and thinking that one day equals 1,000 years, and you know the earth is only going to stand so long, and so on and so forth. That's not what it's talking about, because when you read down, when you go down into the next verse, and he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Well, when you read that word, the Lord is not slack, we could translate and say the Lord is not slow, as some concerning this, and as some would count slowness. God is not going to increase his time, decrease his time. He's not going to do that. He has a plan, and that plan takes place according to his time. That plan takes place according to when he wants it to. And in this particular case, especially in these first two verses, he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is his love that he has for us this morning. This is his love that he has towards the world this morning. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to fall away or turn their back on him. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want that to happen. He is giving each and every one, the opportunity to repent of their sin, the opportunity to come into his fold, the opportunity to rejoice and understand that they have a salvation that is cannot be compared with anything that they ever had before. That's what he wants. He also understands that things just don't always go that way. But he's still holding that door open this morning. He's holding that door open for every single one of us. For those who believe and trust in his name, he has provided a worksheet or a workbook for us. For those who do not know or who he may be calling, he has provided words of encouragement. And he has provided a way for them to start, begin to wonder and to begin to ask and begin to question. And the prayer should always be that if we are able to speak to somebody about Christ and about his salvation, then he would encourage us to give us the words and the opportunity. This area, this 10th verse is so often talked about, and I'm as guilty as anybody about it, kind of focusing on that and how the world and how the earth is going to be dissolved and how it's going to melt away, and actually the next two verses, 10 and 11. But the real message here is in verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. And then he asks a question. What manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of person should you be in holy living and godliness? What type of person should we be? Knowing that all of these things are going to happen, knowing that it is written down here, and God isn't, because God made it, doesn't mean that he's not going to destroy it. He is more interested in the salvation of souls than anything that he has ever made on this earth, other than mankind. His focus, his concern, is the salvation of all of those who believe. That's why he sent his son. That's why Jesus came. Because it wasn't working otherwise. And mankind did what mankind does, even as they're doing it today, and just confusing things. God wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to live and to understand that there is salvation for all of those who are willing to accept it and who are willing to want it. There are some that can go out and have a gift. My father-in-law was one of them. And I know Piggy's dad was another. Any person that they would meet on the streets, it was just a matter of minutes or maybe less that the conversation would be turned to salvation. That's a gift. That's a God-given gift to a person. That's something that God has given someone, and they're good at it. But that doesn't mean everyone has it. That doesn't mean all people have that, but you knew there was going to be a but there somewhere, isn't it? God has given us gifts. God has given us different gifts. But the most important thing we need to remember and be reminded of, that it is God that we represent. Our salvation is in Christ, and we are a representation of that. And when he opens a door, even if it's just for a moment, his word can be praised. I was at the going into a store here a few days ago. There's a couple walking in, kind of walking in at the same time, and we just exchanged pleasantries. And God allowed me. There was just one thing that he asked. He said, "Well, how are you today?" And I said, "Well, God allowed me to wake up this morning, and I'm feeling the concrete." That's it. That's all that was said. But you know, that little bit of a conversation turned to rejoicing God for his goodness. Because these people also happen to be believers. We never know who we're going to run into. We never know what the condition of heart that we'll meet up with. We don't know. But that's not for us to know. What we need to know is that we would be an example of what Christ did for us. That we could offer salvation to anybody who is willing to listen to it. And not make a secret of it. Not make it as though, well, I know I have it, but I'm not so sure this guy is going to be able to accept. That's not the point. The point is to offer it. To offer that salvation. So the focus really isn't on what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. But the focus should be that we know it's going to happen and that we should be earnestly desire to be able to spread his message so that all that we come in contact with would be able to hear it. He says that seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person should you be in holy conversation or holy living and godliness? The people before, the people we're talking about or that Peter was talking to or sending this message to, there was confusion going on. And even as there is today, there are people thinking, well, okay, and they're trying to set a time, they're trying to set a date, they're trying to set a year that God is going to end the earth. I've experienced that at least once with an individual. And yet Scripture is so clear, and Christ was so clear in his message that no one knows that time. No one knows when it will happen save God himself. I picture Jesus sitting on that right hand of God, and he's just sitting there waiting. He's just sitting there patiently waiting for God to tell him, okay, it's time. And then he'll come. But Christ doesn't even know when that time is going to be because it has not been given to him. But he's ready. He's ready to come when God gives him the okay. And he's ready to come down in that glorious body that he has been given. And all those who believe will look up to him and glorify his name and praise him for the salvation that he has offered. Goes on, he says, and looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Looking forward to that day. It sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Earth is on fire, everything's melting, everything's being destroyed in a cataclysmic type way. Worse than anything that any war has ever been able to do. And yet those of us who believe look forward to that. We look forward to that day when Jesus will come. Not looking forward to the destruction, but looking forward to that glorious presence when he shall come in the air, and we will go up, we will rise up to meet him. I was reading a little thing the other day, and a comment was made about Jesus coming and in the air. And the comment was made that in the air is where all the evilness lives. The spiritual realm, I guess, if you might want to call it. But the significance of Christ coming and me and we meeting him in the air, the significance of that is that he has overcome all evilness and wickedness. And there is no more evilness and wickedness for those who believe. For where we will meet him will be glory. It will be in heaven's throne. He says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In Isaiah, the 65th and also the 66th chapter, in 65, the writer says this. He says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's what God does. When God does something for us as believers, he doesn't remember about who we were or what we have done. What he knows is that we trusted in him and the salvation that he brings. And then in chapter 66, the 22nd verse, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. That's where we will be forever. That's where we will remain. And our names will be written in that book of life. And our names will be written there. And we will be singing praises and glory and honor unto him continually. And then he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found in him, found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Obviously, that's what we want to be. But the term that I want to look at, or the word that I want to look at, where he says we may be found in him, or found of him, in peace. What is that peace? We know that in a secular sense, when there has been a war, whether it's, I guess World War II would be the one that I would be looking at. When it ended and peace was proclaimed, there was great rejoicing because there was no more destruction, there was no more fighting, it was all over and everybody was happy. But here it's just so much more important. In Romans, Paul wrote in chapter 5, and this is how we have that peace. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that only God can give, the spiritual peace that only he can give, where Satan can no longer attack, where Satan can no longer fight against, our flesh can no longer cause issues and problems for us. The things of this world, the things of this earth are no longer a thing that to be even considered, because we have faith in Christ. And we are, and our righteousness that we have gives us a peacefulness, an understanding that we indeed are God's children. and we will be without spot, and we will be blameless. In Leviticus, I believe it is, that it talks about that, the sacrifices. And the sacrifices that had to be given at that time would be, in this case, a lamb without spot and without blemish. It had to be pure. It had to be holy. It had to be just perfect. And we know that Christ was the only one that could do that. Because Christ came and was tempted in every way, yet without sin. That's something that we can grab a hold of. That's something that we can hang on to. That's something that we can just grip with both hands and sing and praise Him for what He did for us. We're going to walk on this earth. We're going to continue to walk. We're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. But God has given us that grace of repentance, and He has given us that grace of forgiveness. And we continue to cling to Him and look to Him for all of the things that we know that we need. And if we look forward to that day, we look forward to that time when this earth will stop and all things will end. But we have to keep trusting in Him. We have to keep looking to Him for the strength and for the guidance and for all of the things that are going to go on that Scripture has warned of. Our focus cannot be on that, but it has to be on our salvation that God has provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen.